This is Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer Kent. Coming up, we hear from two veterinarians in southern Wisconsin who formed a worker cooperative for their animal hospitals. We'll find out about the potential for this business ownership model for vet practices.
That's just ahead. Right now, we're here to tell you that it is the last day of Wisconsin Public Radio's fall member drive. Dean Kennetter is here in the WPR News studio to talk about why it's so important that you join in right now.
It's how WPR works. The people who use it are the largest source of funding for it. It's a two-way street. You might have been meaning to give. If so, do it right now on the last day of this fall member drive at WPR.org or on the phone at 888-202-2552.
When 30 people join in this hour, we'll be on track to support the quality and variety of programs that you enjoy every day on WPR News. Wisconsin Public Radio is listener powered. That means your donation right now really does make a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just a few minutes ago, we talked with Vice President Kamala Harris. During our election coverage, we're reaching out to candidates from both parties, hoping to talk with them about issues that are important to Wisconsinites, things like affordable housing, PFAS pollution. We talked with the vice president about. These are big conversations, important conversations, the kind of thing you count on from Wisconsin Public Radio.
And WPR's listeners supported. That means your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes those conversations and all the topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Take a minute to think about the stuff you spend money on every day. Maybe it's coffee, takeout. It can add up. It's pretty easy to spend on those things that are part of your daily routine.
Wisconsin Public Radio is part of your routine, too. It's your source for great conversation starters, news, entertainment, inspiration. So spend some money on it right now. On this last day of the drive, start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It is not an overstatement to say that WPR exists because people contribute. When we all give, our contributions add up to make Wisconsin Today possible, make this entire service possible. Your contribution really does make the difference.
It's as simple as that. One gift at a time. Listeners, make Wisconsin Public Radio possible. So make your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Jane from Madison, Wisconsin. I'm a sustaining member and a plan giver. I love Wisconsin Public Radio. As a matter of fact, I can't imagine my life without it. When I get up in the morning, Wisconsin Public Radio keeps me company while I get ready for the day. When I'm in the kitchen making a meal, Wisconsin Public Radio is always on, and I cannot imagine a weekend without the entertainment of Wisconsin Public Radio. Being a sustaining member has simplified my life because every time the fund drives would come on, I would think, oh my goodness, I have to get out my checkbook. Now I breathe easy knowing that I'm already a supporter. I would encourage you to consider doing the same for something that is such a vital resource for our community.
Make your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's Wisconsin Today. Dean Kennetter is with me for the last day of the fall member drive. Your support makes the news, information, conversations, and entertainment you enjoy on WPR possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount to give.
You might be saying, well, that sounds great, Rob, but I'm going to support Wisconsin Public Radio tomorrow.
Well, hold on there, Dean.
Today. Yeah, hold on, cowboy. Well, today is actually your last chance to support WPR during this member drive.
Don't put it off. Join this amazing community of people coming together right now to make great radio. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So how do you know it's time to donate to WPR? Well, you are listening right now during our fall member drive, and whether you tune in for one favorite program like Wisconsin Today, Larry Mueller Show, or you check in repeatedly throughout the day or the week, you have made a habit of listening.
Now make a new habit, a habit of giving. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. When you give, you make the programs and services you've come to rely on possible. It's easy to get started with a gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose. takes just a few minutes, online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Today is also your last chance to ask for that one-year Wisconsin State Parks Pass. When you give $25 a month or more, you'll be supporting one Wisconsin treasure, WPR, and getting access to a year's worth of another, our state park system. You can ask for that sticker now. Again, a gift of $25 a month or more at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Vernon in Stevens Point says, giving to WPR is the least that I can do because I listen several hours every day. Vernon, fantastic. Glad you are out there listening and glad you get how it works. You count on us for great conversations each and every day. We count on you to help pay for them. Make your gift, as Vernon did, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We really appreciate all the support. It is how things work around here. You keep the program going. You ensure a bright future for WPR, for yourself, and the entire state. Make a gift right now, WPR.org, or call us on the phone at 888-202-2552. And thanks.
Thanks for being with us here on Wisconsin Today. Now, veterinary practices around the country are increasingly being purchased by private equity firms, and the rates of corporate ownership are expected to more than double over the next decade.
But two vet clinics in southern Wisconsin, Spring Green Animal Hospital and Mesa Mania Animal Hospital, found an alternative to a corporate buyout. They formed what's believed to be the first veterinary employee-owned cooperative in the country.
Dr. John Daly and Dr. Eric Howlett are employee owners of Cooperative Veterinary Care, and they join us now. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hi, Kate.
And Dr. Daly, let's start with you. You owned Spring Green Animal Hospital for more than 20 years. Why did you want to avoid selling your practice to a corporation?
Well, I wanted to see it go on and be run by the people I'd been working with for many years, and I believed in the idea of bringing democracy to the workplace and wanted to see if we could make that work for our group.
How common is it for a corporation or a private equity firm to own a veterinary clinic?
It wasn't common at all years ago, but now it's really common. 60-70% of the emergency and specialty practices are owned by large companies, and probably 25% or more of small general practices now are also owned by companies. And just 10 years ago, that number would have been around 5%. And another 10 years from now, it's expected to be 50 or 60%.
What is behind that growth?
Well, in 2008 to 2010, there were a lot of things happened with the recession where a lot of companies suffered, and the private equity market looked at that years later and looked at the veterinary industry, and they saw that this was one industry that didn't really have as much of a downturn as others, and it was pretty recession-proof. And as more and more money became available to invest in new opportunities, they decided this was an industry and profession that was a good opportunity for them, and started the process of developing a corporate ownership model for veterinary practices.
Veterinary practices across the country. And Dr. Howlett, you previously worked at a corporate-owned vet clinic. Are those two working environments different from the situation you're in now?
I would say they are in some ways subtle and in some ways more significant. In the corporate-owned practice that I first worked in, the pressures on veterinarians were not necessarily indicating how we should practice medicine, you know, telling us what tests we should do and what drugs we should prescribe, but more in terms of increasing the number of patients that we'd see in a day. There were quotas put on staff members to try to sell things, to sell, you know, fecal tests and making staff feel more like they were salespeople as opposed to healthcare professionals.
What did that do to your feelings on the job? Did it lead to any type of burnout?
Absolutely. I think you hit the nail on the head there. When you're seeing 20 patients a day and staying till, you know, 10 o'clock at night to get good records on those patients and then have to wake up and do that again the next day, it's hard to be to have compassionate care for your pet owners and your pets.
Dr. Daly, turning to this model you have now, employee-owned, can you explain how that works and what are the benefits at your clinic for being an employee owner?
The benefits are a few. The big ones, I would say, are each member gets an equal vote in getting to make decisions for the business. So one owner, one vote. They get to participate in all the decision-making processes that happen and get to have their voice heard. And then if there's profit at the end of the year, which in a cooperative is called patronage, that gets shared in an equitable way. Particularly in our co-op, we set up a profit-sharing patronage formula, which was based on number of hours worked, not your role in the practice. So it didn't matter whether you were a veterinarian or
a tech or a kennel worker.
Exactly.
You could have perhaps an equal amount of benefit from that based on the hours you work.
Yeah. And it represents that we're all important, you know, and we each contribute differently to the success, overall success of a business. It's not just the people at the top or the veterinarians. It's everybody contributing.
But once you figured out the value of the business, how did you make it accessible for all employees to be able to buy into it financially?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways you can do that, and we spent a lot of time working with some professionals on different options. But eventually what we came to is we self-financed. We basically sold the current owners sold the business to the new group of owners, which were most of the people that had been working with us for many years. And they pay that back through the income of the business over the years, just like any other business loan.
Dr. Howlett, do you feel a difference in this type of practice where it is employee-driven, where the decisions are coming from the employees?
Absolutely. I think in my previous workplace, if I had an idea, I would have to pass that through, you know, not only my direct, maybe the medical director, but then the local management, and then it'd have to go up to a corporate manager. And here we just make those decisions together. I think the democratic model that we have for our board structure has filtered down into how we interact in our staff meetings as well. And so we have a direct kind of shared decision-making model, which allows for us to all be fulfilled in our jobs.
What I wonder, though, is do you have to come to a consensus on how you set your rates and the cost of different procedures?
That's a fair question, and one that we have been grappling with in terms of, do we change certain pricing structures? How do you do that? You know, what is market rate? Which things that as normal vet staff and non-owners has been a learning curve for a lot of us, but I think also helps us understand where those pricing structures come from, which makes it not feel there's not a mystery behind that exists in a corporate practice where you're like, why? This seems too expensive. It's like, now I understand.
Dr. Daly, are there benefits for the pet owner in a veterinary co-op ownership model?
I would hope so, but I want to be real careful to recognize that just because somebody works at a corporate-owned practice doesn't mean they're not trying just as hard as we do to provide good and compassionate care. The people that go into veterinary medicine do it because they love animals for the most part, and the structure that you work within might limit you somewhat to do the job in a way you'd like to, and so that there is that possibility. But I think everybody across the board, no matter what practice you work in, is trying their best to take good care of their patients.
We are talking about the business of vet clinics, vet hospitals, with Dr. John Daly and Dr. Eric Howlett. They are employee owners of Cooperative Veterinary Care, and that's in southern Wisconsin. Dr. Howlett, as a semi-recent graduate of veterinary school, is the co-op model appealing to newly practicing vets?
I would like to think so. I'd like to hope so. So Where else could someone come out of vet school and buy into a business with, you know, our member, I don't know what you would call it, what we, the buy-in is a relatively low bar at $1,000. And that's something that's feasible, as opposed to, I never thought that I'd be a part owner in a practice when I got out of vet school, just from a financial standpoint.
Has this model, business model for vet care, Dr. Daly, improved at all retention of staff, retention of veterinary technicians?
I think we're too new. We've only been doing this a year and a half. Mm-hmm. My hope is that we always had really good retention over the years, and that wasn't a problem, which is not necessarily the case for a lot of other places, and especially for corporate practices. They have a lot, they have a much more of a challenge with that. My hope is going into the future, we'll see this be an attractive model for the reasons that Dr. Eric was mentioning earlier, and you know, all the fulfilling aspects of it that would draw people that were committed to the idea.
Dr. Howlett, I understand at board meetings you cast votes by saying woof and meow. Is there any truth to that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, yay and nay are so boring, right? So sometimes it's a woof or a meow. Sometimes it's a moo or a nay, but yeah.
That's that democratic thing coming up again.
Indeed,
you know,
indeed.
To each their own for their own pet. Is there anything else you would like to add about this model and about the future of the practice?
As John was speaking earlier, and I was thinking about the shared decision making and your question regarding, is this attractive for new graduates? I think the coming out, I just wanted to learn how to be a vet and be a good vet. And John is saying the same thing. He really just wants to be a vet. And none of us really want to be managers or lead business meetings. But here, because we share those responsibilities, it's a manageable little chunk that's distributed amongst all of us. So, you know, not only do we share the rewards, but we share those responsibilities in a way that makes them, no big decision is resting on any one person's shoulders.
It perhaps then makes also a more cooperative team, knowing that you're all doing something outside your comfort zone.
Yeah, and I want to echo a little bit of what Eric just said, and also just say that this is hard. It's not easy to learn new ways of communicating and collaborating and compromising. And it takes a lot of effort and a lot of meetings, and that can get tedious at times. But I at least always walk out of meetings with this wonderful feeling that everyone is getting an opportunity, at least. Whether they always take it or not is up to them as individuals, but the opportunities are always there, and I always feel really good about that.
Well, Dr. Daly and Dr. Howlett, thank you so much for joining us.
Indeed. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
That was Dr. John Daly and Dr. Eric Howlett. They are employee owners of Cooperative Veterinary Care in Southwest Wisconsin. And they were with us for a look at the worker-owned ownership model for vet clinics.
Coming up, explore the mysteries of Wisconsin maps, including phantom communities that show up in maps, but not in real life.
There still might be an old building or something like that there, so they're interesting from that perspective, but there's certainly not places where you could stop for gas or cappuccino or something like that.
That's coming up next here on WPR News.